Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, September 22nd, 2014. How you doing? How are you? Did you enjoy your weekend? Well, that's good. I had to wait till you responded. You see that? That's the new me, trying to be a little more courteous, trying to listen to the listener. No, to the speaker. That's how much I interrupt people. I actually call the other person talking the listener. I call the speaker the listener. That's how I do it. Who gives a fuck? Anyways, I got another goddamn busy week. I've been writing on this show that I'm trying to get on the fucking air. And I'm not going to tell you really what it is because it doesn't make a difference because most of them don't end up making it. But I've been in the bubble doing that all fucking day. And then at night I'm trying to go out and write some new jokes. Because I got some shows coming up. I'm going to be in San Francisco. We just added another show at the Davies Arena, whatever the fuck it's called. And so I appreciate everybody in San Francisco. I plan on kicking the shit out of you and giving you your money's worth. So I've been going out like every night here in Los Angeles trying to get up on stage somewhere. Somehow, somewhere. And I've been writing during the day. I got a fucking job, everybody. You know, I got a little passcode key. I come in, say hello to the fucking person at the desk. How are you? And I fucking do the little swipey thing and I go in there. Right? And I fucking go in there and I try to come up with some funny shit to add to the other funny shit that other people are writing. Jesus. It's actually been a lot of fun, to be honest with you. And I'm learning. I'm learning to write. I'm learning how a script comes together, which I never knew how to do it because I was too scatterbrained. And for the most part, in life, I'm a fucking quitter. I really am. When I go do something, if it's easy and it's fun, I keep doing it. If there's a little bit of work to it, that brutal combination is if there's a little bit of work and I don't like it, I'm done. And that would explain my high school transcript. I did horrible, fucking horrible in high school. Like, I don't know how, like, if that was a PGA tournament, I would not have made the cut. I think freshman year I might have made the cut, but sophomore, no. Junior, no, and especially not senior year. It was over. It was fucking over. You know what? You know what my fucking high school performance was like? Basically, the Broncos in last year's Super Bowl. All right? I walked up to the line of scrimmage, and I'm like, I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm going to Notre Dame. That's what I'm doing. Freshman year, right? Here comes, you know, first play from scrimmage. Oh, everybody yelling. And it fucking went right up and over my head for a safety. I never got the rhythm back. I know there was no rhythm. There was nothing. I did really well. I did really well right up to eighth grade. Not really, really well, but I did great. I gradually tapered off. My academic career from first grade to 12th grade was like an athlete's career. You know, I had young, fresh legs and everything was going great. I was bouncing up after hits and tackles and all that shit. I cruised through first, second, and third grade. And I got my first C, I think. In fourth grade. And in fifth grade, I had to quit my baseball team because I got a D in math. Then sixth grade, I came back strong. Contract year, right? Going into seventh grade. Seventh grade, I did decent. Eighth grade, I did decent. Didn't quite live up to the big contract they gave me after that stunning sixth grade year. And then ninth grade, I don't know. I blew out my Achilles. Came back from injury in the sophomore. I just shit the bed. It was over. It was over. By senior year, I was wearing my Joe Namath Rams jersey, academically speaking, and it was fucking over. And that's the way it was back in 1987. So anyways, this is the Monday Morning Podcast. Any new listeners out there, how are you? Welcome to people who listen to this around the world. World. What the fuck happened in Scotland? You know, I thought that they were going to break away. I thought they had enough. You know what I should do? I shouldn't read up on it at all. I should just start talking about it, you know? That's my God-given right as a fucking American, right? Scotland. Independence. Let's see what happened.
Well, the fuck's a fucking cut the podcast, you fucking skirt-wearing cunt.
Polls were pretty bad, it says. Scotland faces challenge of putting referendum behind them. Oh, yeah, you just stirred everybody up. There's probably even more fights in the bus. I can't do a Scottish accent. The only reason why I could say what I already said was because it was said to me. Other than that, I can't do it. I'm like a really bad impersonator, you know what I mean? Like, if like a really bad impressionist, all they do is the shit that people say in the movies. Like, I'll be back. They just do that. But, you know, the really great ones like Jay Moore can actually do Arnold Schwarzenegger in Therapy, talking about having a child out of wedlock. You know? Anyways, well, I'm all over the fucking place. The pros and cons of Scottish independence. As if your life wasn't boring enough, let's talk about this shit. I think it's a good move that they didn't break away. Right? Does Scotland have an army or a navy? Go fuck yourselves, all right? I'm sorry that I don't know this shit, okay? Why don't you fucking invade somebody every once in a while and maybe I'll know about your teams over there. All right, the referendum ends one debate, but sparks a new question about the devolution of power to Scotland. I hope I said that right. Scotland has rejected independence following a historically high turnout at yesterday's referendum. Chief Counting Officer Mary Piccadilly, whatever the fuck her name is, has officially announced that no side won by 55%. Oh, the no side. I'm the worst. That the no side won by 55% to 45%. No normal person was allowed to count the votes, so everyone has to take that as fact. The Clackamashire Council was the first local authority to announce its results at around 1:30 a.m. Who gives a fuck? Unionists celebrated victories, blah, 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 blah. Nationalists won Dundee by 50, blah, blah, blah. Well, what the fuck? Wait a minute. When did Scotland become part of the UK? The Acts of Union between Scotland and England were passed in 1706, taking effect. Didn't they get taken over? I don't know. Something happened there. Next thing you know, Mel Gibson was in a dress. That's all I know. He was in a skirt. Yeah, why are you going to... Well, you know, I don't... You know something? I don't know anything about it. I don't know anything about it, but I bet there was a bunch of old Scottish people who didn't want to upset. You know, they were going to take the evil that they knew rather than the unknown evil. You know? What are they doing? Taxing the shit out of you? Making you do the shit jobs? Is that what it is? What would have happened to England if Scott... Can you guys answer me these fucking questions? Because I'm not going to read up on it. What would have happened to the power of England? You know? Which I don't even know what it's based on at this point. Because they don't own shit anymore, do they? What do they own? They got like the Canary Islands in Northern Ireland. And Scotland. And Wales. Right? Falkland Islands. Didn't they lose that? Something happened over there like 30 fucking years ago and all of a sudden the planes were taking off straight up in the air. Remember that? Way back in the day, Nancy Reagan, Ronald Reagan, Margaret Thatcher. I don't fucking know. I don't know what happened. I can't believe how little I even know about it. I don't know anything about it. I'm going to shut up then. Well, congratulations to people of Scotland who didn't want to leave. And I feel bad for those who did. And I really wish I could have talked about it a little more intelligently. But, you know, every once in a while, you you think the water's like 2 inches deep. And next thing you know, you're in over your head. That's what happened to me. Oh, Jesus. That might have been the worst discussion of anything political ever. That was even bad for me. That was a fucking embarrassment. I'll tell you right now. If that last conversation was indicative of what this podcast is going to be, I can tell you right now, I don't think he's going to get it done this week. Okay? And if you think that you're going to have a good podcast in the National Podcasting League with that type of performance, what does that say about his preparation? Oh, do they need to make a change? Um, I didn't watch any of that. You guys watch any of the pregame analysis? You know what I was? I have a rental car, of course, still have a rental car. I haven't seen my fucking truck in like months because the people fixing the downstairs, they got to walk through my garage and I don't want to get it scratched. I don't want to leave it out on the street. So I got it in storage. I start it up once a week. That's my life. Okay? So anyways, I've been driving this fucking car. I got this new one, and I suck with technology. I can't figure out how to turn the radio onto auxiliary so I can listen to my fucking show tunes there as I drive down the street, right? Roll out the barrel. It's the kind of music I listen to when I drive, you know? I listen to Funny Girl. Oklahoma, when the something, something, and the something, right? I don't know any fucking show tunes. Wait a minute. To dream the impossible dream. To dress like a fucking kitty cat. To descend on a glowing moon. While a crowd of old hags and some young homosexuals cry in the crowd. Anyways. Sorry. All right. What the fuck am I talking about here? There was something I wanted to talk about before I started singing show tunes. Oh, yeah. I was driving down the fucking street in the car, and I can't figure out how to listen to my goddamn songs. So I've just been listening to sports talk radio because I don't want to listen to real news. It's too fucking depressing. I don't want to listen to them try and sell me on the idea that we just have to go into Syria. You know, we just got to do it. It's our job to go over there and tell these people, hey, that's about enough of that. As we suck their natural resources out of the fucking ground and bomb the living shit out of innocent people standing around. You know, I don't want to listen to them sell me in on another one of those.
Well, it's an issue of freedom, the way they're treating their women. Something needs to be done.
I don't give a fuck. I don't care anymore. All right? Oh, and I would vote. I would vote if you actually fucking counted them. And if I wasn't lazy as shit. I got a big pamphlet today that was telling me all about the local officials. And I just took one look at that. It's written on recycled paper. It's overcast paper. That's what it looks like. Overcast skies, except there's typing on it. They do it on purpose. Who the fuck is going to read that? So anyways, I was driving down the street, and I'm listening to that Mike in the Morning. And like I've been really hard on these fucking pregame, postgame sports talk guys. I actually now have empathy for them. I understand what they're doing. There's just too much time. There's too much airtime between games, and they just have to talk everything to death. And this week, I swear to God, Mike Golic of the Mike and Mike show, right? They read a letter, and it was somebody who's basically, he was respectfully tired of listening to the Adrian Peterson story, the Ray Rice story, and all of that shit. And it was just like, can we just get back to talking about football? Signed, a tired football fan. And I swear to God, this I'm paraphrasing, but this is kind of what Golic said. He goes, you know what I want to do? I want to, right now, I don't want to talk to the players. I don't want to talk to the owners. I don't want to talk to the media. I want to talk to you, the fan. Okay, no, Mike, this is something that I want to get out there. Is this game your safe haven? Is it your safe haven? Like, on Sunday, when you sit down in your chair and you take out your favorite beverage, is that your safe haven? Is the national football, he kept saying, is that your safe haven? What the fuck does that mean? How simplistic and fucking stupid do they think the average football fan is? Was I supposed to be driving in my car going, hey, it's my safe haven? I feel a haven of safety when I watch football. What the fuck is he talking about? I got to tell you something. This is really immature of me. I hate when overweight people bring up food. I don't know what it is, but I swear to God, you can already hear them salivating. I never had an issue with the word beverage until I heard Mike Golic say it. And you take out your favorite beverage. I just heard the fucking ice hitting the inside of the glass, and I swear to God, I wanted to drive into a fucking pole. I had to shut it off like 3 times, but I was like, no, this is good for the podcast. You got to listen to it. And he just, is it your safe haven? I mean, just absolutely out of shit to talk about. I mean, what the fuck does that, I didn't listen to it long enough. Did somebody actually call in? A safe fucking haven? You know what? I'm going to look that up right now. And I want to see examples of safe havens. I know exactly what they are. It's like captains in the middle of a fucking storm trying to find a port so they don't get smashed on rocks. Yeah, either that or some fat fuck in his pajamas with some potato skins watching football. Yeah, let's just fucking devalue safe haven. I'm looking it up right now. Well, it was a movie. There's a film. It's a county. How about a fucking definition? Well, Bill, why don't you search for that and stop yelling at a screen? All right. All right, definition. Safe haven, a place of refuge or security. Temporary refuge given to a persecuted person or group. So is he trying to say that we're persecuted by them saying, talking about the same shit day after fucking day after day?
Is it your safe haven?
An officially protected place in an area of military activity or any safe or peaceful place in a dangerous area. All right. I mean, am I nuts to say that he overstepped the bounds of the definition of that word to apply it to sitting there fucking eating pizza and drinking booze? You know? I don't fucking know. Anyways. And I'm sitting there going, like, how fucking dumb does this guy think the average football fan is? And then I watched the FSU game, and I am a huge fan of Florida State. I've always loved the Seminoles. I want to go to a game. I did a show down there like a year and a half ago. But I got to tell you something. I watched this fucking game, and in the first drive alone, they played that fucking what do you call it? The Tomahawk chant song? They must have played it like 7 times. Right? And the fucking crowd is going like, with their fucking arms. I get it. Everybody's got their little thing that they do, you know? And, whatever. You're just kind of fucking mocking a group of people that were victims of genocide. I mean, who's to say? I mean, if the Nazis, you know, if they won World War II, would they not have had their version of the tomahawk chop with Jewish people? What would they be doing? If the Nazis won and then they fucking named their team offensive names about Jewish people, what would the tomahawk chop, what would it be? Oy vey, or whatever the fuck he was. Yada, yada, yada. Ah, fuck you, I'm sorry. What do you want from me? I'm tired. Right? They would all have like fucking, they'd be dressed like Hasidic Jews or something like that, but cartoonish versions. Like one of them would come out riding a fucking horse with a goddamn briefcase or some shit. And he'd fucking go to slam it down on the 50-yard line, forgetting it was handcuffed to his wrist, and he'd turn his head into a lawn dart. Something like that, right? Oy vey, yada, yada, yada. The Berlin Woody Allens. Berlin Woodies. Sorry. What do you want from me? Anyways, what the fuck? And then what was worse was they kept cutting to the crowd. And, you know, I heard nothing, you know. I always heard that the chicks at FSU were fucking, I heard they were hot, dude. All I saw, it looked like, you know, there was a hurricane and everybody, I don't know. They looked for a safe haven in fucking Walmart, and they just opened the door, and all these fucking zombies came out. It's just a bunch of people standing there mindlessly moving their fucking arms. Like, I'm telling you, like 15, 20 times a half, 40 times in a fucking game, you're sitting there doing that shit. And I just, you know what I want to do right now? I don't want to talk to the players. I don't want to talk to me. I want to talk to the fans. I want to talk to the fans in that fucking stadium. Like, what is going through your fucking head the 30th, the 35th fucking time you're doing that? At any point, do you sit there and start to question whether you're an individual anymore? What kind of a fucking person? I've never been to the game. Do you take a few of them off? Right? Well, you know what? I'm not going to do it this time. Just so I can keep a piece of me. Right? I don't know. Don't listen to me. I am antisocial, like beyond belief. And the stuff that actually makes me mad. It's weird. I like can't stand people and I also like them. I can't stand them to the point I don't want to be around them. But when I see them doing shit that I feel they're above, it makes me sad for them. Like, I was sad for some of those people when I looked at them. Like, what are you doing? Come on, you know. I don't want to use that hacky term, you're better than that. I hate when people say that shit. You're better than that. It's like, you know what? You're better than that. All right? Don't try your fucking first grade psychology on me. Oh, maybe I am better than that. Oh, I guess I agreed with you now. Give me a fucking break. It's like when you see people waiting out for a fucking phone. Like those fucking losers. I get it. You're into it. I get it that you're into it. All right? Whatever the fuck I'm into. All right? Whatever. I like playing drums. Let's say they came out with the greatest fucking drum kit you could ever fucking have. And I wanted it worse than I wanted anything in my life. Like the way those fucking kids like the goddamn iPhone. I'm not sleeping out on a sidewalk for it. When a week later I could just walk in like a fucking human being. Go, yeah, let me get one of those. Thank you. Box it up there, Rusty. Right? I gotta be the first one that has the phone. You know, I asked this week on Twitter, I asked what Roku was. Somebody gave me a Roku, right? I had no idea what, I opened it, and I had no idea what it was. And, you know what's funny? I so didn't even know what it was. I don't even like read. I noticed that about myself. Like, it said Roku right on the box, but I was just looking at the picture of it, and I was reading the fine print immediately, and I didn't know what the fuck it was. So I did a live podcast with Al Madrigal, and I was trying to describe what it was because I didn't know what it was. And Neil Brennan, I got to give him props, actually called it. He said, "Is it a Roku?" And I think I said no. Anyways, I tried looking it up on the internet, and the description of it, I still didn't understand what it was. So like an asshole, I ask on my Twitter, I go, hey, does any, I just said, you know, what's a Roku? And you can't believe the shit. I understand like the funny answers that people gave me, but there was a lot of people giving me fucking shit like I was a moron or something. I don't get that shit talking with technology where just because you go out and you buy the latest thing, like that somehow makes you smarter than me now? It's not. I could see if you invented it. It's like the person who invented Roku said I was a fucking moron. I mean, I got to take that one on the chin. But if you're just another mouth-breathing moron like me walking around a fucking Best Buy and you walk in and you buy a Roku, I mean, I don't get the fucking shit talk. That's all I'm saying. All these nerds all of a sudden acting like cornerbacks in the NFL getting in my fucking face on Twitter. Jesus, I feel like I'm bitching a lot this week. Let's do a little advertisement here. All right. All right, where the fuck is it? Dollar Shave Club, everybody. Is there anything worse than buying razors? You got to remember that you need them in the first place. You got to sit in traffic to go to the store. You got to find that locked plastic fortress they keep them in. That's so ridiculous that you got to find somebody with a key, right? Find the one dude who's got the key and he's in the back texting his girlfriend or he's outside smoking a joint. After all that, it's going to set you back like $25. Do you really need to deal with that anymore? You don't. Never do it again. Just join Dollar Shave Club. For a few bucks a month, Dollar Shave Club delivers you great razors right to your door. DollarShaveClub.com is so much smarter than going to the store. Their plan starts at just $3 a month. Signing up takes only 2 minutes, then sit back and let the blades arrive like clockwork. You can shave with a fresh blade every week. No membership fee, no commitment, and they have a money-back guarantee. You have nothing to lose by trying them out. Stop trudging to the store for overpriced razors. Join the DollarShaveClub.com /burr revolution. That's DollarShaveClub.com/burr, B-U-R-R. All right, DraftKings, everybody. Dude, I called it. I said these guys were going to be huge. They're actually advertising during football games. They're doing so well at this point. All right, DraftKings, everybody. Fantasy football's back, and DraftKings.com isn't messing around. DraftKings.com is America's favorite one-week fantasy football site where you could win enormous cash prizes every week. You've already researched the players for your season-long fantasy team. Turn that knowledge into instant cash at DollarShaveClub.com. Last year, one player turned $11 into $4,000 in one weekend. Another won $100,000, his first time playing ever. And another player won $1,000,000 in one day just playing fantasy football. What are you waiting for? Keep your season-long league where it is, but also play one-week fantasy at DraftKings.com to win huge cash this week. Hurry up. Get free entry into the Millionaire Maker event, where first place takes home $1,000,000. Head over to DraftKings.com now and enter the promo code DEFENSE. It's spelled regularly, D-E-F-E-N-S-E, to play free to become a millionaire. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter DEFENSE for entry now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com, that is DraftKings.com. All right, one more here. LegalZoom, everybody. LegalZoom. Boom, boom, oh, LegalZoom, zoom, zoomity-doom, boom, ba-dooby-doo. When you're planning for your future, you do financial planning. You get insurance. But to get real peace of mind, you've got to make sure your family and finances are legally protected. So where do you turn for legal help you can trust? LegalZoom.com. For over 13 years, they've been helping Americans get personalized wills, powers of attorneys, and living trusts. LegalZoom also helps file LLCs, S-corporations, and more to protect you against personal liability. The company was started by some of the best legal minds in the country, and they make it painless for you to get the legal protection you need. Have questions? You can always reach out to someone at LegalZoom, and they'll help you. They'll help talk you through the process. You can get legal help through independent attorneys and self-help services at your discretion, but they are not a law firm. For special savings, be sure to enter my code BURR in the referral box at checkout. Go to LegalZoom.com, promo code BURR today to protect your business and take control of your family's future. All right, with that, let's get back to the podcast here. Anyways, what else did I do this week? I watched a bunch of football. I got to tell you, I got to be a little concerned with what I saw up there in Foxborough with the New England Patriots. I don't know. You know what the Patriots have been doing forever is we get rid of guys. We get rid of veterans in the final third of their career when they want the big bucks. We kind of let them go. Ty Law, Lawyer Malloy, that fucking defensive tackle we sent to the Raiders. I mean, there's been so many of them. Latest one, Logan Mankins, sent him to Tampa Bay or whatever. And I don't think that's working for us. Because you get a great veteran, and then that dude leaves, and then you have a hole in that position for like 3 years waiting for somebody to get up to speed. And by the time that guy figures out how to play the position, somebody else gets let go, and now we got a problem over there. I mean, I guess you're always going to have a fucking problem, but I don't know. I see us slowly starting to slide. I mean, the way we let the Raiders hang around that long, and they should have won the fucking game. They didn't shoot the Raiders. They didn't shoot themselves in the foot. I just don't understand why the Raiders. They just, I don't know. It's like they knew how to win games, and for the last 30 years, they stopped. All went out the fucking, I don't know. I think it's karma. It's a karma thing. It has to do with their fans and how they disgrace being a football fan by going there dressed up like SpongeBob SquarePants, but you have on brass knuckles. I just don't understand that. I don't understand why you have to take your dignity and throw it out the fucking window. I'm not talking about all Raider fans. I'm talking, you know what fans I'm talking about. All right, so thank God it was a home game so they didn't have to keep talking about the black hole. You know those places, the black hole, the dog pound, the entire Seattle Seahawks stadium. I actually watched it. What a fucking game that was, man. Seattle Broncos game, fucking awesome game. But at one point they cut to the crowd and some guy had this fucking lime green sign that just said loud. Like he went out and made that or something. It's just the dumbest thing. I have to commend them. I mean, I fast forward through a lot of it because I was out living a life and I came back and I watched my tape of the game and they didn't bring it up that much, which thank God they didn't. Enough already with the stupid 12th man and all of that shit. Anyways, but the game was fucking awesome. And I thought it was done. And what was it, 20 to 5, 17 to 5 or something like that? I think it was like 21-5. I don't even know. And fucking Broncos came back. You know, Peyton throws the big pick and then comes back with the, I don't know. I don't get why on that final drive, whenever it's every fucking drive. Is that the prevent defense? They always go down the field and score. Or they always drive down at the very least they're going to get in the red zone. That whole bullshit of like, you know, we'll take away the sidelines and we'll give them the middle of the field. And somehow there's just magically not supposed to be enough time left on the clock. And there fucking always is, like 90% of the time. But it actually seemed like Seattle was playing defense. Is that you blowing your nose in there, Nia? Yeah, she's got the allergies. Such a cute little nose. She makes all that noise. Anyways, it was a great fucking game. And I was happy that, you know, both teams played well. And there wasn't any fucking incidents or screaming and yelling or any of that type of shit. The day started off bad with them talking about the goddamn Paul Tagliabue or fucking Pete Rozelle, whatever the fucking new guy's name is. I don't even know what his name is. Doug Fairbanks. We're gonna go with that. Gary Greenberg. What the fuck is his name? You think? Yeah, that's how much I don't watch it. I put it on, and there's Tom Jackson and Keenan Ivory Wayans or whatever the fuck, Keyshawn Johnson, right? And I'm like, oh, I like those guys. Those guys used to play. They know the fucking game. And then, you know, they got the big, pasty, doughy boy who looks like he's in one of those Bigfoot fucking sitcoms, right? Third Rock from the Sun, where they lived with Bigfoot and Alf made like a cameo, whatever the hell. One of those furry fucking shows, right? He looks like the dad on one of those shows, doesn't he? And like if he was a chick, he'd be like a milkmaiden, you know? But he'd only be like a 6. So anyways, he goes up there. And he's like, you know, I didn't get it right. A lot of stuff I could have got right. I didn't get it right. Next time we're going to do everything to make sure we get it right. Get it right. he's in there in sports speak. And then they cut back to the players. And then the players, you know, who are now fucking wearing Anderson little suits. And they're fucking, then they start talking, going like, I heard an apology, but I didn't hear anything that was saying, what are they going to do in the future? Oh, my God. Is it wrong to say who gives a fuck at this point? The guy's not going to quit his goddamn job. You're not going to kick him out. All right? He gets it. Next time a player slugs his wife, fiance, or just some random woman walking down the street in the face, they're going to show the whole video the first day and they will suspend the person indefinitely. Okay? You know what's great? Halfway through when I was listening to that sports talk radio show, they had Al Michaels call in, who does not speak in sports speak because, you know, he's found his own voice. He's a legend. So he called up and he was just saying how the whole league got tarred and feathered because of a couple of guys. And he actually claimed that the spousal abuse rate in the NFL not only is less than general society, but way less. So What was all the screaming and yelling about? I don't fucking get it. All that fuck. They have a real problem. They actually look like they're doing a little better. Doing better than the plumbers, contractors, stand-up comedians, and everybody else walking around outside that stadium. The new drinking game. Listen to Mike and Mike in the morning, and every time Mike Golick goes, and in between points, you got to take a shot. I swear to God, you're going to have your stomach pumped 45 minutes into it. They came out in the first quarter, and I mean, they were all over them. Okay. Is there anything else to talk about here? I talked about Roku. I talked about the games that I watched. Oh, double bass drumming, by the way. I'm trying to, you know, I didn't make fun of it. I just said, you know, it's just so fucking fast after a while that I don't hear a groove anymore. And some double bass drummers called me up. They fucking Twittered me, and they were like, it kind of bummed me out. You said you didn't like the blast beats and shit like that. I don't mean I don't like them. I just, you know, I don't know. I just don't gravitate towards, I already have that level of rage in me. I don't need a soundtrack to it. Like, I need to go the other way. I need to listen to the sounds of waterfalls, you know? So anyways, I want to do another one of those goddamn comedy jams. And the song that I picked out had a little bit of double bass in it. So I've been trying to get, you know, I pulled out the double pedal from the fucking back of the closet. And I got to tell you, man, it's hard as shit. I've always respected that. That's why I bought a double pedal like 12 years ago when my obsession with John Bonham got to the point that all I was doing was listening to Led Zeppelin. And I wasn't developing at all. Any creative ideas, nothing, playing drums. So I was like, why don't I get outside of this and get a double pedal? And I fucked around with it on and off, and I just never had the discipline to stay with it. So I've been trying to stay with it the last couple of weeks, and I'm fucking horrible. I'm horrible. I mean, I'm talking like 85, 90 beats per minute before it starts sounding like I'm galloping rather than a nice smooth sound. So I always had a ton of respect. Oh, you know what's funny? I actually opened for, went down, I did a guest spot in front of Dean Del Rey at the Improv this week. And he used to sing in a band, so he knows all these musicians. And one of the guys that came down out to the show was the drummer from Slayer, Dave Lombardo. I got to talk to him for a couple seconds. Speaking of, you know, legendary double bass drumming, was a great fucking guy. And I don't know. It's one of the great things about living out here in L.A. It's like you'll fucking move somewhere and that guy will be your next door neighbor. Because there's just people that are in show business out here. It's fucking hilarious. Do you know I went to a Super Bowl party one time and I met somebody and they were just like, yeah. And they started talking to him and I found out his grandfather played the guy that was in the bed with the severed horse head in Godfather 1. How fucking cool is that? It's like, your grandfather did that? Yeah, yeah. You know, he had no idea how big the movie was going to be. They put a fake head in there and he screamed and yelled. What did your grandfather do? He worked at Avis. All right. Let's move on. Okay, let's get to the letters for this week. The fucking letters. Bill, stop saying sorry. Dear Billy Redface, I have been listening to your podcast for about a year, and you are hilarious. And I have noticed, he's spelling with like letters, not and, just the letter N. And I have noticed you say something outrageous and funny, then say sorry. You're not responsible. You can say whatever the fuck you want, two N's in one, without apologizing. Both of those words spelled wrong. Keep that shit up, you funny bastard. Thanks for the podcast and go fuck yourself. No, I'm going to keep saying sorry. If I fucking do a joke that I think is a little corny or I went a little too long with it, I apologize. I'm trying to have respect for you. But I appreciate the fact that you enjoyed the podcast. Please keep listening. All right, American who grew up in Singapore. Oh, I love it. Last week, did any of you guys have the nerve to go look at that caning video? Holy shit. That's not something you don't look at it because you won't ever forget it. Hey, Billy, I have lived So this is an American who grew up in Singapore. I've lived in Singapore for 5 years, or I lived in Singapore for 5 years in the late 80s through the early 90s. I was a kid, but I remember they had public commercials for caning. Some were like the semi-funny DUI commercials we have in California, and some were like short film versions of Hostels. Oh, of Hostel. Oh, wasn't that a horror movie? They even had billboards and bus signs that depicted offenses that would warrant caning, complete with sore-assed cartoon characters. Caning was even a thing in their soap operas and TV shows. The message was clear. You fuck around and you're going to get caned. The Michael Faye thing happened when I was 11. This is fascinating. But I remember feeling no sympathy for the guy. I always thought he gave the U.S. a bad name for A, being a dumbass in a foreign country, and B, not owning up to his own bullshit. I have no love for Singapore, but I think their nation points out a sad fact. The only way you can have a society with less than one murder a year, no drug offenders, with a pristine subway, and then he writes in parentheses, you could literally eat ice cream off the floor, is by hanging felons and beating the shit out of everyone else. Love you. Oh, my God. Jesus Christ, is that true? Can you imagine if they had caning in this country? How many of us would deserve a caning? How fucking crash you can act. And that before you get on your fucking high horse, anybody listen to this in Canada, England, and Australia, and all the other goddamn places, okay? You'd all take a couple of fucking, you take a nice couple of fucking whacks yourself. You know, I went to slap my leg, and even then I pulled it because I didn't pulled the punch because I didn't want to fucking hurt myself. Yeah, I guess so. If you hang felons, that really cuts out the whole recidivism. You know, no repeat offenders in Singapore. Then they beat the, and let me tell you something. They beat the shit out of you. This guy took like six of them. Like, there's sometimes, like, I heard punishments of up to 12, and some people were saying, like, other parts of the world, you get, like, 96 lashings. I mean, you just passed out. I got to tell you, as inhumane as it is, like, let's just say I don't want to put this fucking idea in anybody's head. Jesus Christ. How many fine? I mean, that would be it. I don't know what I would do. You know what I would do? I would work in the back of a Cold Stone Creamery. If I ever took 96 lashings, that would be it. That would be the end of my dreams. All of it. I would be a broken man. Like, all right, dude, I get it. You're running shit. Fuck this. I'm going in the back here. I'm going to fucking stir up some ice cream. I'll come out when I got to sing the hi-ho, hi-ho. We're making ice cream. We go. Whatever fucking song I got to sing. I'm wearing the uniform. You know, everybody likes to think that there'd be that guy going, you know, after they give you 96 lashes and you're sitting there, you know, and they come up to you and they say something, and then you go, fuck you, and you spit in their face. I think that just happens in the movies. Even if you're thinking, fuck you, you're not going to say it again. What is the point of taking more lashes? You're just like, all right, I'm going to get this motherfucker later. Absolutely, sir, you are the boss. I got my mind right. Got my shaking the bush. Walking it off, boss. Walking it off. All right. Bad luck. Dear Mr. Burr, what to do when everything goes south for an extended period of time? So I am a 32-year-old with quite a good track record. Former semi-pro hockey player, 3 university degrees, in rather good shape and overall not that ugly. And he got a sense of humor. You're crushing it. One sentence in. I love this guy. 2 sentences in. However, I have had no luck with girls, jobs, or health in the past 10 years. I have had almost every disease known to man. Okay, there is a little bit padding in that story. I have unbelievably bad luck with jobs. Always when I get my dream job, something from outside comes and stops me getting there. This has happened 3 times now. And the last one was one of the classics. The company went to a hiring freeze and let 25% of the workforce go. And girls, well, I can get some, but I just have no interactions with girls with personalities I would like. They are out there, but if I meet them, it does not go anywhere. I love sports, and now I have been unable to train for a year and a half due to a disease, heart problems plus virus. I am unable to do work, so there is that. Even if I would like to get a job, there is none available, and I am a cunt working in the finance industry. I am sure I am not the only one to be in this situation. So my question for you is, how do you believe in your future if everything's been shit so far? Please go fornicate yourself. Yours sincerely. P.S. English is not my first language, so please excuse me. Well, that was pretty impressive. All right. So how do you continue thinking positively? It's a choice. You just have to decide to do it. I mean, what else are you going to do? Are you going to let it win? You can't let it win. And everybody who's been successful always has, you know, they have all their stories. When they sit around telling stories about, you know, after they've been successful, all they talk about is the shit that they fucking went through, which is most of panel. If you watch a late night talk show, if a comic goes on, he's not going to talk about the time he killed. He's going to talk about the time he bombed, the time about he lost his agent, the time his fucking TV show got canceled, all the pain of that and all that, because, you know, it's funny. But the big thing is when you're sitting there watching it going, this person went through all of this shit. So I feel bad that you're going through all that, especially the health part. I don't know what kind of virus you have, but I mean, not like if you told me I'd fucking know anything. It's not like I'm a doctor, obviously. So what I would do if I was you is I would focus on what you can control. You can't work out, but there's nothing stopping you from eating perfectly. How about something low impact like yoga? Like I don't ever see where light stretching and eating as perfectly as you possibly can would ever be a detriment to your health. So that would be a step in the positive direction. And as far as like your bad luck with women, fuck that, dude. Fuck that. There's no such thing. You just keep getting back. What is the worst they're going to say? No. Who gives a fuck? They laugh at you. You're already laughing at yourself. All right? You just become undeniable. You become unstoppable. It's just not going to beat you. All right? Who knows? Who knows how long you're going to be here? Who knows how long I'm going to be here? But like every year, you're fucking living your life day to day. You can't let it beat you. That's basically it. You make that fucking choice. Now get out there in the second half. Crush some ass. Do some yoga and eat some goddamn beets. Yeah, that's what I would say. I would just fucking refuse to let this thing, you know, just do that fucking day-to-day thing. You might win, but not today. All right? I'm tougher than you today. Go fuck yourself, and I'm enjoying this day. There you go. I would do that. And I don't know. And if you're going to be around women, don't have an angry energy like me. That is like raid to women. Don't do that. All right? You attract psychos. And it's just not a good situation. So anyways. All right. 100 days without booze. Hey, Bill Ball Saggins. Parentheses. I don't know. I tried. All right. Quickly to the point. I'm doing 100 days clean. I love it. Inspired by your podcast a while back. I like the whole deadline thing. Knowing there's only X more days to go and stuff makes it easier to do it. I feel better. I'm not pissed off as much. I'm getting a handle on my money. This is all good things, which is a lot easier when you're not buying whiskey / rounds in Brooklyn bars. And he further goes on to say, so thanks for setting a good example on how to keep that shit in check. Only problem is it's kind of messing up my game, or what I thought was my game, which might have just been getting drunk enough to think a 6 was a 9 for the night instead of practicing some patience and self-control. Did you do the 100 days when you were with Nia, or did you ever do sober stints single? I'm a single dude in my 30s, and I'm a writer, so I don't have an automatic social life unless I go out at night. Basically, that means up till now, I've met all my previous girlfriends at bars or at shows, but now I feel like If I'm sober and they're not, then isn't that kind of like taking advantage? I know exactly what you're saying, yeah. Like if a gal's got 2+ drinks in her and I'm not in the same rocking boat, I'm just standing on the deck watching everyone else swaying back and forth. It almost seems shady to be picking up gals. In other words, how the hell do you meet cool chicks if you're taking a gentleman interlude from the booze? I know in the past you've recommended like mixed gendered sports and stuff. Just wondering if you got any other insights. Thanks. And go, not even going to say it. All right. So judging by that, you're not athletic because you already know what I suggested. So I would get involved in something else. Get involved in something. Dude, if you could somehow cut out booze and bars out of your fucking life at some point, it's a great thing. Get 8 hours sleep. You get more shit done. And then you start doing, something else. I don't know what. Join a fucking gym. Join like a specific one. Like, you know, they got like those rock climbing gyms. It's way more social because it's like a specific thing that everybody's into. If you just go to the treadmill, elliptical, weight thing, you know, then everybody's got their fucking headphones on and shit. But, you know, if it's something more like that rock climbing stuff or, I don't know, riding a bike. My shit's always physically active. I don't know what else to do. I mean, I don't know what other types of interaction things. You know what the fuck you're supposed to do, but I respect the fact that you don't like hitting on a woman when she's drunk and you're sober. Yeah, I don't like that either. That feels like some form of sexual assault if you end up hooking up with them, you know? If they're all over you, I don't know. I still was always like, all right, well, you know, let me know what you think tomorrow, you know, after the fucking hangover there. All right there, boozy. I should fucking take a day off, man. I fucking drank it up yesterday. Last night, ended up eating off a food truck. Got a super fucking deluxe burrito, whatever the hell you call it. Horrific. And I'm paying for it today. All goddamn day. No energy. Stupid. Fucking stupid. Why can't I stop? Maybe I should join that rock climbing gym. All right, stamps.com, everybody. You know that feeling you get when you get things done with just the click of your mouse? It can't get more convenient than that. You know what? I have a mouse in my house. It ate my bananas the other day. I couldn't kill it, though. If I found it, I'd try to catch it by the tail and then throw it outside. Do a little helicopter thing, make it dizzy so I wouldn't know how to get back in my house. Anyways, and now you can get your mailing and shipping done without leaving your desk. Thanks to Stamps.com. Stamps.com turns your PC or your Mac into your own personal post office that never does, or that never closes. Sorry. I look at words and then I move on to the next sentence. I really should just stay on the words here. Talk about convenient. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package using your computer and your printer. Just hand your mail to the mailman or mail lady or drop it off in the post office box. No, the mailbox, sorry. And you'll never have to go to the post office again. I use stamps.com to send out my posters or whatever other thing I'm selling at the end of my show. I am a moron. If I can figure out how to use the goddamn scale, so can you. Right now, use my last name, Burr, B-U-R-R, for this special offer. No risk trial plus $110 bonus offer. Offer that includes a digital scale. Calculates exact postage for letters and packages and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Burr, B-U-R-R. That's stamps.com. Enter Burr. And lastly, but certainly not leastly, Prosper. Or as everybody likes to say it, Prosper. In 72 hours, you could have $35,000 to cover your needs. What will you do? Pay off a high-rate credit card. Start a business. Do that home improvement project. You know what I would do? I would get an exterminator, the best one ever, for $35,000 to take out that mouse that's eating my bananas. Anyways, with our sponsor Prosper, it's never been easier. Go online, answer a few questions, and see your low fixed rate in seconds. Your money hits your account in as few as 3 days. Prosper, the fastest growing peer-to-peer lender, and they facilitated over $1 billion in loans to people like you. Their revolutionary platform connects people looking to borrow money with those who have money to invest. There's no outrageous fees, no raising interest rates, and you'll never have to set foot in a bank again. Just go to prosper.com /Burr, B-U-R-R, to check out your rate instantly without affecting your credit score. For a limited time, Prosper is offering my listeners a $50 Visa prepaid gift card when you get a loan. Go to prosper.com/Burr. Up to $35,000 in just 3 days and a $50 gift card. Go to prosper.com/Burr. Mandatory legal disclaimer, everybody. Other restrictions apply. See site for details. Gift card is issued by Center State Bank of Florida, pursuant to license from Visa USA Incorporated. All personal loans are made by WebBank, a Utah chartered industrial bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. All right, and there you go. There's the ads for this week. Okay, here we go. Here's another guy laying off the booze. Another guy laying off the booze. Billy Buster of Balls. I'm a big fan and an even bigger booze hound. I'm a 47-year-old boozer with a good job, successfully raising my two young daughters myself. You recently went on a run of sobriety that I admire. Can you talk more on your fucking epic podcast? Thank you. About how you did it and what types of food you ate to help you replace the sugar that your body missed without the sweet mother's milk of vodka. Thanks and go fuck yourself. Yeah, dude, you're addicted. You're addicted to sugar. Like most people, like myself or whatever. So what I've found with food is it's really all about that first night. You know, if you eat, you can eat well all day on the first day of your diet. And right around 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, your body starts craving the shit food that you've been eating, either something salty or sugary or anything. If you can just fucking push through that, you know, drink plenty of water, not a dangerous level of water. Don't fucking make the walls of your cells fucking not even exist anymore. Is that what happens? You can literally die from drinking too much water. Just drink water, big salad with the protein, and then just make yourself go to bed, that white knuckle it the first night. And then your body starts to get used to that. And after doing that for 3 days, you're on a nice track. And to help you along, if you get that, hey, Nia, what is it, dark chocolate? Yeah, if you get that dark chocolate, it's weird. Like, you just eat, like, a little corner of it. It feels way more dense than, like, milk chocolate, but it's not nearly as sugary. I don't even know if there's any sugar in it. But it kind of keeps that sugar thing at bay. And that's kind of a way you can kind of cheat your way through it. But what's cool about your body is if you actually feed it healthy food, it craves healthy food. Like, you'll actually get psyched for a salad with some chicken on it or some shit. Believe it or not, I never thought it was going to be possible. But I would say, you know, you got to be careful with the, obviously with the salad dressings, you know. And people always, when they talk about calories and shit, they'll always say, like, you might as well have had a Big Mac. I 100% disagree with that. It might, even if the caloric intake is equal, there's nothing worse than a fucking Big Mac. Because at the end of the day, if you had a giant fucking salad with a ton of calorie dressing on top of it, you still ate a fucking salad. Where of a Big Mac, you just ate a Big Mac. All right? And fuck all you no-necked cunts, personal trainers who are now going to question that. That makes sense to me, and I don't give a shit about your degree in fucking salad dressing. Yeah, so just white knuckle it for the first three. I need to do that. Like, I'm trying to get back into working out. I've been so fucking busy, and I'm forcing myself to go downstairs because my body's saying, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. You drank last night. You ate that shit food. Let's fucking relax and eat more shit food. And I'm just going to force myself to go down there. And all I got to do is that first set of push-ups, the blood gets going, and then the body's like, yeah, yeah, I want to do this. I want to do this. And then, you know, half hour later, you're like, thank God I did this, and it's fucking over. So another great thing, especially a guy your age, you're a little a year older than me, take a fucking walk at night. Hey, take a fucking walk. I'm telling you, just walk around the block at a nice leisurely pace, you know, put on your Walkman or whatever the fuck you listen to now, whatever the hell you call it, your phone, your transistor radio, listen to some music, walk around the block. It's great. You burn calories. You're not beating on your joints. You know, you burn like 100, 200 calories just walking around the block right before you go to bed. Nice big glass of fucking water. Go to bed and then start your day. I like fucking oatmeal with bananas and raisin in it. No milk, no brown sugar, none of that shit that's going to send your body back, get you back on the smack. Fuck that. It's a big lump of shit that's good for you. Sits right in your belly. It fills you up. Have a fucking apple for a snack, and then, I don't know, peanut butter and jelly sandwich or a turkey sandwich, lean turkey sandwich, and you're on your way. And then you're all the way to 4 o'clock. Then all you got to do is the salad and the protein and just shove that shit. Sometimes I'll do the salad at lunch just to get it out of the fucking way. Just got to get it out of the way. Just fucking do that. Then it's the end of the night again. Drink your giant thing of water. Take another fucking walk, and then your body's just into that. And then you'll drop weight. And then the hardest fucking thing is once your body gets used to that and you get bored of that shit, or you start lying to yourself like, I could have a Big Mac. I'm going to treat myself. I've been doing well. And you're treating yourself to the heroin again. And it's going to be in you for 3 days. And you got to be really careful after you eat like shit for the next 3 days, because there's that demon is back in you. Go and get a pizza, get some ice cream, blah, 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 blah. I'm telling you. At least that's how my body works. Anyway, so good luck, man. You're making some smart choices there. All right. Threesome problems. Oh, God. I want this guy's life. It's fucking great. Threesome. Hey, Nia, you want to come in for this one? Nito! Oh, you're all stuffy? Come on. That'll be funny. Next week? Okay. All right, threesome problems. Greetings, Billy Boy. Long-time listener, first-time caller? Question mark. As they used to say, I realize many, if not most guys, would love to have my problems, but nonetheless, it's caused me some headache, so I thought I'd ask an asshole like you for his 2 cents. Well, you've come to the right place. If you're looking for an a-hole, my wife of years is very much bisexual, and we have brought other women into our relationship since we started dating. All right, so, okay. Is that still technically a marriage? I'm not trying to be a prude here, but like, all right, so you guys are like friends. It's fucking great. This is great. This fucking guy, how the fuck did you pull this off? Nah, not like we, I guess because his wife's bisexual. Anyways, not like we do this every Friday night. But since we are both very sexual people, and the fact that she has no interest in screwing another dude, it's just a win-win. Yeah, you motherfucker. What is your problem here? You're taking up valuable time on this podcast for other people who actually have problems. He goes, here is the rub, so to speak. Nug, nudge, wink, wink. Most of the girls have been hookups, more or less. And that neither of us had any real emotional attachment to them. Yeah, you got it. I would think you'd have to do it that way. What, are you going to bang your neighbor and then have to see her for the rest of the time? You're like, hey, how are you? Remember that time I diddled you? And then my wife was doing that other thing to you? No, we don't want to do it again. We just wanted to do it to you once. Have a nice day, Ethel. While that sounds crass, all three, sometimes even four, once five at once. All of us were consulting adults, et cetera, et cetera. How did you have a 2-on-5? Did you go, you guys must be swingers. What, did you go down to the Y? Hey, we got next. Standing outside an orgy. Anyways, he said, but there is one good friend of my wife that has found her way into our bed off and on for a few years now, usually after all of us have had one too many cocktails. Yeah, dude. All right. Yeah, you're dancing with the devil here. Again, so far so good, except that this lady, let's call her Jenny. Jenny, I got your number. You wanna bang my wife. So far so good. It's just... okay, we'll call her Jenny, is just as into each of us personally as she is into us as a couple. That is, she is down to screw each one of us individually. Now, this person right here is the real winner in all of this because, you know, she's not in a relationship. This person, she's the one getting her cake and eating it. She has nothing to fucking lose. Anyways, she says, while my wife was away on business, I gave in and did the deed. Jenny insists that A, my wife would not consider this cheating, and B, even if she did, she, that is Jenny, would never tell her. Part of the problem is that, like I mentioned, my wife has zero interest in other dudes, and being the ex-frat guy that I am, I really would not be jealous if she informed me that she slept with a girl while on a business trip. But at the same time, my gut is telling me she'd be very angry and very hurt if she learned that I slept with Jenny one-on-one in her absence. Jenny and I have had sex 3 times in my wife's absence. Yeah, dude, you're kind of having an affair right now. I feel like I am about the absolute limit at which I can admit all to my wife. That is, after 4, 5, 6, 8, 12, whatever times, it is no longer a new problem and is simply an affair. Should I just come clean now, considering that this is not exactly your run-of-the-mill affair? Thanks, my man. I don't know, dude. I would immediately stop banging Jenny on the side. You know what, dude? Your relationship is complex, to say the least, and there's going to be some security issues. There's going to be some breaches in security. So you had a breach in security. She's not going to say anything. You don't say anything. You know, you basically fucked this woman that your wife has fucked. She just wasn't there. So I don't know what that is. That sounds like offsetting penalties. No, not really, because your wife is the other team. I don't know. I would stop banging her, and you did it 3 fucking times. I don't know. If you want to say that, that's your call. If you want to say something, say something. You know that's going to be a shitstorm, and your wife is probably going to think, you know, they're a vengeful sex. So do the math on that one. If she's going to get you back, I don't think she's getting with Jenny. She's getting with Lenny. Oh, sorry. Apologize for the pun. Is that a pun? I don't know what it is. So there you go. That is that's the podcast for this week, everybody. J-E-T-S, Jets, tonight playing. I don't know who. I don't know what. I haven't watched him yet this year, but I am predicting the New England Patriots are going to go 500 against the Jets, 500 against the Bills, 500 against the Dolphins. Maybe we'll beat one of them twice. I think all 3 of them might have got a little better, and I just think that we got a little worse. I don't know. There's just something about, I don't know, letting the Raiders hang around that long. The Raiders. No disrespect to the greatest fucking emblem in all of sports, but they are what they are. And have been what they've been for this fucking long. So I don't know what to tell you. Anyways, other than I'm looking forward to it. I'm trying not to be a cunt this year and rooting against teams and all that shit. It really kills a lot of my enjoyment of it. I know it's funny for you guys and that type of shit, but I'm just really busy. I don't have time to fucking hate this year. That's it. I'm just hoping it's going to be a good game. How do you like that? That was even-handed. All right, go fuck yourselves. I'll talk to you next week.